and we're going
to... Welcome to the Life Tools Sermon Audio Podcast. Life Tools is an online resource at the Bill Rice Ranch in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Listen now to another dynamic message preached at the Bill Rice Ranch Summer Camp Ministry.
To read, starting in verse number 25. Now in verse 24, Jesus says, "You cannot serve God and mammon." And the idea of the mammon there is money, things. You can only have one master. And then Jesus says, verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We understand that God is a spirit. You do not see God. Yet God, when he made us, put us into a physical world. And so it is completely legitimate that we would live with physical things in this physical world. Things like clothes and cars and houses and food and computers and furniture, and the list could go on and on. All of these things are appropriate and needed. As a matter of fact, in this very passage, Jesus said, "God knows that you need all of these things." That's what he said at the end of verse number 32. However, if you are overly concerned about just the physical world, you really have your perspective out of whack. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said, "Well, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And while, yes, God did put us into a physical world, God also gave us a brain to understand that there is more than this physical world. And while we do live day to day by having things, by having stuff in this world, this passage of Scripture teaches us that your approach to things reveals your view of God. The way that you look at the stuff that you possess or the stuff that you wish that you possess, that really demonstrates a little bit of what you think about God. As a matter of fact, I could say it this way: if you overvalue things, then you undervalue God. When you overvalue things, you undervalue God. Now, I want to demonstrate that from this passage of Scripture this morning with three thoughts. And I want to ask first this: do you recognize that life is about more than food and clothes? Do you recognize that life is about more than food and clothes? Look back in verse number 25. Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment?" Isn't life more than food, and isn't the body about more than just the clothes that you put on it? It's interesting because Jesus here mentions the two basic needs of man, food and clothing. And it's not the only time in the Bible that those two are mentioned isolated from every other physical thing in this world. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul said, "Therefore, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Now that verse is actually somewhat shocking to me. And you might be thinking, that's shocking to me too. He didn't say anything about iPhones or iPads or Xboxes or Macs or cars or anything like that. Didn't he leave something out? Well, it might be shocking to you in that way. Actually, it was shocking to me in a slightly different way. And that is, he didn't even mention houses. In 1 Timothy, he said, look, if you've got food and if you've got clothes, then you ought to be content. And we think, well, what about houses? I mean, I think I was in a social studies class, probably, when I was in public school, in elementary school, when I learned that there are three basic needs of mankind: our food, our clothes, and our housing, our lodging. And yet, apparently, my social studies class was taking it one step further than God does. Because God said, if you've got food and clothes, then you ought to be content. And that's hard for us to understand in the society in which we live, to think that you could be content even without a regular place to lay your head. But I remind you, that's how Jesus lived on this earth. He didn't have a place to lay his head. God provided places, sometimes indoors and sometimes out of doors. But the point is, it doesn't take much to truly be satisfied, to truly be happy. As a matter of fact, you need to recognize that the houses and the stuff that you put in houses and the money that you use to buy the stuff that you put in the houses can never bring you happiness. It can never bring you happiness. I'm a sports fan. I particularly enjoy baseball, and my favorite team is the Atlanta Braves. I like the Braves, and the Braves are always on the move to get a few more players to kind of make themselves a little better. And over the last offseason, they added a pitcher by the name of Gavin Floyd. Gavin Floyd has been a good pitcher in his day, not a household name by any means, but he was a good pitcher with the Chicago White Sox, and the Braves signed him and got a great deal for him, just $4 million plus incentives where he could make a little bit more for one season. Now, the reason Gavin Floyd was so cheap for only $4 million was because last year, early in the season, he blew out his elbow and he had to have what they call Tommy John surgery on his elbow. It's a surgery named for Tommy John, the first pitcher who had this successfully done, where they grab a ligament from some other part of your body and they put it into your elbow and rebuild your elbow. It takes about 12 months, usually, or more, often more than that, to come back from this type of surgery. He did it in about 11, and he started pitching this year earlier in May. Well, last week, he was in his ninth appearance. You know, pitchers don't pitch every day, so they get a few days rest. And so he was in his ninth game of the season, starting the seventh inning when Gavin Floyd threw the first pitch, and something didn't feel right in his elbow. As a matter of fact, I saw pictures that were taken while he was still standing on the mound, and you could see this red lump that formed, the swelling underneath his elbow. Come to find out, the reconstruction had held up great. The doctor said, it looks wonderful, but that didn't do Gavin Floyd any good because with that one pitch, he broke a bone in his elbow. And Gavin Floyd's season is done. Now, as I was reading this article, I found out that his final salary then for the year was going to be about $4.75 million. Can you imagine making $4.75 million and you worked 9 days that year? As a matter of fact, the average baseball game is only 2 to 3 hours long, and a starting pitcher doesn't usually go the distance, so let's say he works 2 hours a day, and let's give him a little credit for doing some homework on the opposing team in the other days, and he throws a little bit on the side on certain days, so even if you triple that out from 18 to whatever 18 times 3 is, then you can find out that he was making $87,900 an hour this year. That's higher than even the government wants to make the minimum wage. I mean, that is seriously a lot of money per hour. But I want to ask you this question. Do you think Gavin Floyd is happy right now? I don't know Gavin Floyd, and maybe he's got an absolutely steady personality where nothing phases him. I don't know. But if I were Gavin Floyd, I would be fine with the money. That would all be good, but I'd be extremely disappointed that my season ended and I only got to play 9 times. And I'm thinking that's just looking at it on a human perspective. You know, even if a guy has great success, the success is only temporary. It's going to come to an end. How about them Boston Red Sox? Won the World Series last year. Got a losing record. They're in fourth place in their division of 5 this year. I'm telling you, happiness doesn't last if it's dependent upon stuff. If it's dependent upon money, it's not going to last, and you need to realize that. You need to realize that happiness and the stuff and the money can never, that the houses and stuff and money can never buy you happiness, and the houses and the money and the stuff can never give you your value. Don't set your value based on what you have. You know, everybody likes to have friends, don't you? You like to have people that you can hang out with, and suppose that there's somebody that you get to know and you get to meet back home, and maybe they're a new friend, a new acquaintance, and boy, you really hit it off, and so you have them over to your house, enjoy playing video games. You got a Wii, and so you're playing video games on the Wii, and this is really cool, and you're just having a great time. Seems like you hit it off great. Well, then a few days later, you say, hey, you want to come over to my house, and we'll play some more games on the Wii? You're like, sorry, man, I'm busy. What do you mean you're busy? We had a great time the other day. It was a lot of fun. Well, so-and-so called, and they've got an Xbox, and so I'm going to go over and play games with them. I'm thinking, oh, man, this just isn't good. And so you call up a few days later and say, hey, I just got me some new wheels, man. Let's go out and let's go live it up and go to McDonald's and get a burger and, you know, let's have a good time. And so he's not doing anything that day, so he goes with you to McDonald's and gets a burger and rides around in your new car that you're enjoying. And a few days later, you think, let's do that again. And so you call him back and say, hey, want to go do that? I mean, we can really raise the bar. Let's go to Wendy's this time. I mean, it'll be good times. Get a Frosty. And they say, oh, I'm busy. Well, what are you doing? Well, so-and-so just got a new Corvette, and we're going to go out and have a good time. And you start to pick up a pattern here. And you're thinking, man, I just enjoy this guy. He's a friend. He's a good guy. And boy, I enjoy being around with him. And you're like, man, just because I don't have an Xbox, just because I don't have a Corvette, just because Wendy's is as good as it gets for me, I mean, really? Is that what it's all about? Is that all I'm worth to you? Now, I want to ask you a question. Is that all you're worth to you? Is that where you put your worth, is in the stuff that you've got? I'm going to tell you something. Someday you're going to take the Xbox and you're going to throw it away because it's going to be replaced by something else that's newer and bigger and better. And the car, unless it's a Toyota, will eventually die. And you will have to replace it with something else. I'm telling you, money is not where you get your happiness, and money is not where you get your value. And it's not where you ought to put your value on other people either. You know, the Bible here does talk about the meat, the food that we have. And of course we need food to live. But even Jesus quoted the Old Testament where it says, man shall not live by bread alone. But it also talks about clothes. And it's interesting because clothing is so important to young people. Now, I'm not saying that clothing is completely unimportant. I think clothing is a good thing. I think everybody ought to get in on having some. But I'm telling you, but clothing is not what life is all about. But some of you act as though that's what your life is all about. And some of you also undervalue other people because of the clothes that they don't have. Now, I want you to hold your place here because we'll come back. I want you to quickly turn over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Amazingly, this was a problem a couple thousand years ago, too. And in James chapter 2, you find that James says in verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. That is where you value one person above another person for whatever reason. Verse 2, for if there come unto your assembly, that means this was taking place at church, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing or the better clothes, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. I mean, can you imagine telling somebody to sit under your footstool? That seems a little degrading, don't you think? I can't even picture what was going on here, but it just doesn't sound good. Verse 4, are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? Now, look this way. This is not saying that God loves poor people more than rich people, but it's saying that the physical poverty or physical riches are not nearly as important to God as the riches of a person's faith, whether he will put his trust in Christ for salvation, or as we heard about in the last service, for victory, for deliverance over the sins in our life. Okay, verse 6. But ye have despised the poor. Now here's the irony. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? And I see that happening with young people. One person is absolutely not giving you the time of day because of something about you or the way you look or your background or whatever the case might be, and you turn around and treat somebody else the same way. It doesn't make any sense. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? Verse 8, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. When I went to college, there were several things that were kind of an awakening, a rude awakening to me. And one was when I had the opportunity, being in college in the South, to go out with a group of guys where we were going to help a young church plant do some visitation and canvassing and invite people to church and then hold a special service. We were out on the streets of this town inviting people, going up door to door to invite people to the church services. And one of the leaders of the church, one of the church planters, stopped me, looked across the street and said, what's your pal doing over there? Well, I looked across the street and there was my pal and he was inviting some people to church. He was giving them an invitation to church. You didn't see what happened that day, so I better fill you in so you can understand the setting. He was inviting an African American to church. I said, well, he's inviting people to church. The church planter said to me, he can invite them, but they won't be welcome. Whoa! This is ministry? This is Christianity? I'll tell you what it was. It's wicked. But that wickedness is not relegated only to that type of prejudice based on the color of a person's skin. It is also true when you are prejudiced against people because of the quality of the clothes that they wear. It's wicked. It's wrong. And it's arrogant. It's proud. And by the way, that doesn't make a lick of sense that any one of us should be proud about our clothes. You know why? You know why clothes were invented? You know why God invented clothes? Because man sinned. And if you need a good place to get started reading your Bible on a regular basis, Genesis would be a good one because there are so many foundational truths. And if you go back and just read Genesis and read Genesis chapter 3 and think with an open mind, you'll realize that the reason we've got clothes at all is because of sin. Clothes are not a sign of pride. Clothes are a reminder of our shame. And so you ought to look neat, and you ought to look good, and you ought to be presentable, but you ought not be proud about the clothes that you wear, because that's arrogance in the face of Almighty God. And so we recognize that life is about more than food and clothes. Back in Matthew chapter 6, let me ask this secondly, do you recognize that worrying about food and clothes is characteristic of the unsaved world? Look in verse number 31 again. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He's saying, don't be worried about your food and your drink and your clothes. Don't be anxious about these things. And then in parentheses, Jesus adds, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, he's speaking to Jewish folks, and in our common day, we would maybe say it like this. That's what the world worries about. That's what the world spends all their time thinking about, is the food that you eat and the clothes that you wear. And that really is what people spend their time worrying about. And you've heard the term worldliness, haven't you? And when you hear the word worldliness, what do you think of? Usually we think of things like, well, that must be R-rated movies, or that must be certain television shows, or certain types of rock music, or different music, or dirty jokes, or sleazy pictures that you can look at. You know, all of those things are worldly, but so is being overly worried about your food and your clothes. One time I was on door-to-door visitation, and I said to a lady, hey, has anybody ever shared with you how you can have eternal life? And here was her answer. She said, look, I'm just trying to pay the bills. Well, I could certainly sympathize with her, and that might not be where you're at yet, but in the time in which we live, there's a lot of people that worry about how they're going to make their next car payment or their next house payment or how they're going to take care of their basic needs. And I can certainly understand that, but I understand as well that this lady was not consumed with the most important thing. And while, yes, it's important to have your needs met on this earth, it's more important to know that you are ready for eternity. A young person, the world is caught up with the here and the now. But that's not the way we should live. Amen. Worrying is what the unsaved world does. And worrying about things like food and clothes. And why should you as a Christian teenager be wrapped up in something like that? It doesn't make any sense. So don't take thought in it, Jesus said. That doesn't mean be disinterested. It just means don't be anxious about it. Philippians says, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And if by chance you're in the place where you really are responsible for your own food and your own clothes, and you're not sure how you're going to make your ends meet, then it's a good opportunity for you to learn early how to put your faith in God and trust God for those needs. You know, some of you would not even consider going to Bible college because you're thinking, I could never come up with that kind of money. Hey, if that's where God wants you to go, I say this respectfully, let the money be God's problem. Now, it doesn't mean you don't work, and it doesn't mean that you don't pray and you don't seek the Lord, but I'm saying put the responsibility on God because God can handle it.
Amen.
So don't get caught up worrying about these things. So do you recognize that life is about more than food and clothes? Do you recognize that worrying about food and clothes is what the unsaved world does? Let me ask you this third and finally. Do you realize that what God provides is personal and perfect? What God provides is personal and perfect. And this is where we come down to the idea that if you are overvaluing things, you are undervaluing God. Give God some credit. God loves you. He made you. For most of you, He saved you. And He's concerned about your life. Verse number 32 told us that He knows what our needs are. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Verse 26 tells us He not only knows, He cares. It says, look at the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Now here's the question, are ye not much better than they? And let me stop and say, this is not a trick question. This has an obvious answer. Aren't you better than birds? Jesus didn't die for birds. He died for you. And if God could take care of the needs of birds, don't you think He cares about your needs as well? He knows, He cares, and He intends the very best for you. He gives a couple illustrations. He talks about the lilies of the field in verse 28. God has intricately designed lilies. I have no idea how many flowers there are in the world, but I know God made every one of them. I don't know how many birds there are in the world, but I know God designed every one of them. And God is interested in detail, and God knows you. You're not just another person to God. He cares for you. In fact, in verse number 30, it says, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is in cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? Look. God even made a design to grass. Now, I thought originally this might be talking about grass in the sense of wheat or something you put into the oven and, and baked bread. It's not what it's talking about. It's just talking about grass that they would take and they would use as fuel in their ovens to cook their food. And yet God didn't color only the flowers and color only the birds and only certain trees and leave the rest of this world without shape, form, or color. God made everything intricately. And if God would take the time to provide for the design of grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is burnt up in the oven, don't you think that he can provide for you? He knows, he cares, and he has something very personal in mind for you. Don't undervalue God by overvaluing your stuff. If you've got stuff, thank God for it. But don't live for it, because life is about more than food and drink. Life is about more than the clothes you're wearing right now. Life is about eternity. And it's about the God that you're going to spend eternity with. So start living like that today. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Life Tools Sermon Audio Podcast today. If you would like to know more about how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, www.billriceranch.org, and click the Good News tab. You can also find more sermons, books, music, and ministry resources online in the Bill Rice Ranch store. Visit today or call 1-800-253-RICE.